Good morning. And I hope all of you can hear me there in Nashville. I am pleased to visit with you today. I won't deny for a moment, I kind of wish I was there with you. Right now, as we speak, the thermometer at my house in western Oklahoma stands at 4.3 degrees. And if you look at the Mesonet system, which is our statewide electronic weather information gathering system, the wind's puffing along at about 30 miles an hour. We've got snow on the ground. It's kind of hard to tell how much snow because of that 30-mile-an-hour wind. But the wind chill factor is 21 below. So when I say I'd like to be with you in Nashville, you can sincerely believe that. As the new chairman of the Ag Committee, I must tell you I look forward to addressing the needs of our farmers and ranchers, and I'm ready to tackle the challenges that lie ahead. Now, those challenges are going to be many, and they're going to be varied, and I promise to always advocate the positions that our farmers and ranchers hold dear. The agenda for the committee, and I think that's probably a good place to start, is going to be an aggressive oversight of the administration and the various things that are called for in the 2008 Farm Bill. Because it seems like, especially in areas like EPA, every day our good friends at the Environmental Protection Agency are proposing a new regulation, facilitating new litigation, or otherwise allowing non-elected bureaucrats to, in the eyes, I think, of many of my fellow farmers and ranchers, to run amok. And under the administration, this EPA has become very interested in an agenda that perhaps does not always take into consideration the impact that it will have on farmers and ranchers and folks out in the countryside. And just a couple of examples. The EPA's efforts at the regulation of crop protection tools. Some might define their efforts as overzealous and perhaps costly, but those efforts, things like the proposed zero tolerance for pesticide spray drift, that's kind of difficult to achieve in much of this country, zero spray drift. Attempts to stiffen the current regulatory standard for farm dust. Now, whether it comes from a field, a feedlot, or a vehicle running up and down the road, that's another kind of a challenging concept, doing away with dust in agricultural production. And, of course, the proposed ban on popular weed control products that have a dramatic effect. In many of these instances, the agency's overreaching its authority, and instead of operating under the law, I worry that the EPA believes it can tell Congress to either pass a law or by rule they'll enact it. So we're going to send a message to them, and this could be said to a number of other agencies, about these kind of issues, and use our oversight, authority, and responsibility to make sure that the 08 Farm Bill and the other provisions of federal law are implemented correctly. Because that's a big part of, I think, about the importance of oversight in Congress, is making sure that our federal government follows the laws that you and I work so diligently to pass and to put into place. And let's also face it, we've got some challenges coming up in making sure that we strengthen the commitments made to conservation in both the 02 and the 08 Farm Bills. Because you and I working together, or I should say we working together, have created in the last couple farm bills many new ways for producers and conservation organizations to achieve those conservation initiatives. And farmers and ranchers, through the assistance and the incentives of these programs, have voluntarily worked to reduce soil erosion, increase wetlands, improve water quality, preserve farmland, wildlife habitat. The environmental gains achieved are a testament to our producers, who are truly the most dedicated conservationists in the history of the world. Now, all of us share a common goal. I think the continued health and vitality of our natural resources. But the path to that goal is hotly debated. Do we rely on burdensome regulations and government intrusion into the lives and livelihoods of those who work the land? Or do we use an incentive-based programs that help restore and protect our natural resources while encouraging a healthy rural environment? And let's face it, that's important, a healthy rural economy. I think we all agree on the correct approach. Conservation districts have already demonstrated success with this approach with locally led initiatives. I think the oversight of the EPA will lead us to small but achievable goals. I have spoken to my ranking member, Mr. Peterson, my former chairman from Minnesota, Colin Peterson, and he agrees that agencies like the EPA have overreached their legislative authority and need to be reined in. The bottom line of this will be our number one agenda item, because if left unchecked, I think agencies like the EPA will not resist putting producers out of business and making life more challenging out in the countryside. Now, as we all know, the Farm Bill is slated to be reauthorized in this Congress. And I now have on the committee, I've been on the committee for three Farm Bills. And I'm sure each chairman at the time thought the Farm Bills that he faced held amazing challenges. But, my friends, this one's shaping up to be a true doozy. Now, first, let's talk for a moment about timing. I believe it's in the committee's best interest to do our due diligence and to wait until 2012 to begin writing the Farm Bill. Because remember, this Farm Bill does not begin to actually expire until the end of July 2012. And if you'll take just for a moment the consideration about the nature of the committee, on my side of the aisle, of the 26 Republicans, 16 are brand new freshmen. There are, what, seven new members, not freshmen, but seven new members of the committee on the Democratic side. I think it's in our best interest to use this year to make sure that the new members and the freshman members have a chance to come up to speed about the nature of the Farm Bill, the complexity of the Farm Bill, the variety of subjects covered by the Farm Bill, as well as the complexity of production agriculture and conservation and all of the other issues included in a comprehensive Farm Bill. I'm confident every one of my members, my new members, has an understanding of agriculture and conservation and rural America in his or her district. But let's face it, it's a great big country. It's a diverse country. And using this year not only for oversight, but to bring the new members, both sides of the aisle, up to speed is a critically important issue. And there's another big challenge in this budget. You remember in 2002, when I was chairman of the Subcommittee on Conservation, and Larry Combest from Texas was chairman of the overall Ag Committee, we secured $70 billion new dollars to write the 02 Farm Bill compared to the 06, the 1996 Farm Bill. $17 billion of that money went into conservation programs that I was the subcommittee chairman of, issues near and dear to our hearts. And remember, we worked together very diligently in 2002 to make that happen. Now, 2008, the next Farm Bill, Chairman Peterson had an additional $8 billion to spend on the overall Farm Bill, but the majority leadership at the time had designated that essentially that $8 billion went to the social nutrition programs. So we didn't, in effect, have any new money for the rest of the non-nutrition part of the Farm Bill. Now, this Farm Bill is going to be a little different story. Not $70 billion new dollars to spend as we want, as we had in 2002. Not $8 billion new dollars, even though it was designated by Speaker Pelosi at the time for nutrition programs. The best-case scenario in this Farm Bill, my friends, would be just to keep what we have. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you look at the way the 08 Farm Bill was put together, there's somewhere between $6, $8, $9 billion in spending that was funded by non-baseline money. And for the benefit of our listeners out there who've not had to listen to that terminology before, what that means is it's not funded by recurring monies within the federal budget. So if we kept everything we have in the 08 Farm Bill in 2012, we'd have to have between $6 and $9 billion on top of the money available to us just to do that. Now, as I said, if I could just keep what we had the last time, even with that $6, $8, $9 billion hole, I'd be a happy guy. But let's be honest. We are now in a congressional environment where the American people have said the $1 trillion annual deficits are unacceptable. I'm serving with 94 new members, most of whom were elected. Yes, that's out of 435, 94. Not quite a fourth of the body, but almost, who were elected with the direction from back home to do something about overall federal spending. So, with that in mind, what I envision as a part of our oversight in 2011 is the committee will conduct what would in effect amount to an audit of farm programs, to make sure that the goal of each program is consistent with how it's been implemented, that the programs are not duplicative, that the funding level is consistent with the needs of the producers while being fiscally responsible. Questions like, has the program outlived its usefulness? And I hope this audit will help simplify the process so that in 2012, when we make the hard decisions on the full committee, and many of you who have been involved with the committee know that historically, and this will continue to be the case, historically, the Ag Committee is one of the most bipartisan, or at the very least, least partisan committees the United States House. Yes, we may occasionally disagree by commodity group. We may disagree by region. But when it comes to working together to pass a comprehensive farm bill, we do that because we have to do that with the simply the small numbers we have of us. But let's think for a moment about that $8 or $9 billion shortage. We have at least 38 existing programs that don't have a baseline. They were temporarily funded in 08 by using forward monies or shifting funds, but there's no permanent baseline, 38 of them. The biggest one of those programs, one of those 38, is the Wetlands Reserve Program. If the program is a priority, we're going to have to come up with, for instance, resources from somewhere within the Farm Bill to maintain that. Now, what I'm telling folks in my district and telling the members of the committee, quite simply, is there are no sacred cows, so to speak. And during these tough times, we're going to look at every program. Every program is going to be on the table. The agricultural sector will be responsible, and that's my goal. I want to know how much, come 2012, we have to work with on the committee, and then be given the authority, as I believe we will be, for the committee to make the decisions. Now, it's going to be a tough challenge, and the committee is going to work diligently, and NACD, which has been instrumental in this process in past farm bills, will be instrumental in this process in this farm bill as we work together to come up with what the appropriate priorities should be. Your organization's leadership on this farm bill cannot be understated. You've got people across the country. You've got people virtually everywhere. You have people who historically have been involved with members of Congress and of the House and Senate, and it's going to be critical in this cycle that once again NACD be involved in the process. During the last two farm bills, I've served as chairman and ranking member of subcommittees with a jurisdiction over conservation. And most of you remember, and I repeat this again because in the tough times it faces, we need to remember we've had some good times in the past. That $17 billion increase over a 10-year period in the 02 Farm Bill was probably, to this point, what I consider to be one of my greatest accomplishments, working with you. And our increased commitment to things like CRP and EQIP and all of those things have made a real difference out in the countryside. The challenge we face, once again, is a huge number of new members, both in Congress as a whole and the Ag Committee in particular, the toughest budget environment of my lifetime, and a focus, I think, to try and make a difference in the overall federal budget. Don't ever let anyone say to you in public or private that this will be easy. This process will be painful. But if we work together, if we educate my colleagues in Congress together, then I think we can preserve the important parts of conservation and we can build on those elements. And I know in a moment we're about to throw the floor open and talk about what you'd care to talk about, but I just offer you one more time for those of you who do not know me. Not only have I been on the committee, as was noted in the introduction, since 1994, but I am a farmer and rancher in western Oklahoma. Conservation issues are incredibly important to me personally. My region was the abyss of the drought and the economic disaster called the Great Depression in the 1930s. My region was dead zero again for the drought of the 1950s, and in some statistics, Well, analysis was worse than the drought of the 1930s. I watched, not personally, but historically, my county has gone, I should say, from 14,000 people in 1930 on the census to the point where we'll be lucky to have 2,700, 2,800 on the next census. Now, we've contributed a lot of good people to California and Texas and a variety of other places over that period, but it only serves to reinforce my commitment to conservation and to rural America. No one should go through what my grandparents and my parents, and yes, I watched my generation go through in the economic downturn of the 1980s, should go through those kind of experiences ever again. I wasn't there for the 30s or 50s. I watched the economic problems of the 1980s. I don't want to allow any of that to happen on my watch, not just to people in the 3rd District of Oklahoma or in rural Oklahoma, but anywhere in rural America. And with that, could we visit about the things that are important to the folks there?
Hey, thank you, Congressman. And so now we have time for some questions. If we have mics set up here in each one of the aisles, and if you would, state your name and be concise with your question. So I see Tim is up at the mic. Tim?
Yes, thank you, Representative Lucas. Tim Palmer from Iowa. I would like to ask what you, first of all, what you see as a timeline for producing the 2012 Farm Bill.
We started the oversight process with a hearing about GMO alfalfa a couple of weeks ago. Actually, it was a forum since we weren't technically organized. We'll aggressively push through this summer and fall with oversight hearings on implementations of the 08 Farm Bill. We'll be involved in the process of looking at how money's been spent, how the programs have been implemented under the 08 bill. I would tell you that about a year and a couple of months from now, I would expect to receive from the Budget Committee of the U.S. House and from the chairman of the and majority leadership a number. How much money will we have to spend on the overall comprehensive farm bill? At that point, historically, when the number comes down in past farm bills, so have come instructions. As Speaker Pelosi directed the increase in nutrition spending in 08, just as leadership in 1996 insisted upon a shift away from the supply, 1996, I should say, from the supply control programs. I would hope in that year and a couple months from now that we will have our dollar number, our goal to reach, that we'll have it basically with authority for the committee to work its will, and we'll begin the process. Now remember, right now we have an environment in the nation's capital where, I won't say divided government, but we've got very diverse government within the system. A party change in control of the House last year, last election day. A very evenly divided United States Senate. Majority Leader Reid is still leader of the Senate, but it's just, at what, 53-47, just evenly divided. And an administration that will be focused on a little something called re-election in 2012. So that's in a challenging political environment. We get our number. I would hope that we can, over the course of the summer, or late spring, early summer, work our way through the process in the House. If we've done our homework, go to markup. I'd like to see some kind of a bill around the 1st of July, if not a little sooner. If the Senate can pass something, then we'll go to conference. That's one of the things about spending priorities that we need to bear in mind. The House will have one set of spending targets. The Senate will have another set of spending targets. When we go to conference, hopefully in July, to sort out our differences, there will be adjustments in the goals of both chambers. That's just the nature of a conference committee and the ultimate compromise. In this conference, the presiding officer of a conference between House and Senate in committee subject matter goes back and forth from one side to the other. Senator Harkin presided over the conference for the Farm Bill in 2008, so I would expect and will be, I believe, the conference chairman, the presiding officer, when we confer with the Senate this summer. My goal would be, if in a perfect world, would be to send the bill to the White House before we go home for August. And I always think it's a good thing to put a farm bill on a president's desk before he goes to out to the countryside to campaign every 4 years. That's not a, some would call that a little political humor. That's just being pragmatic, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Representative. You mentioned wanting to work with NACD to help educate. Are there any other ways that we can assist you?
I think the best thing you can do is in congressional districts where you have strong organization, and I know we have strong organizations in every state, but in particular where we have strong organizations, reach out to those new members. Go to their town meetings, which they'll begin to have. Call up and develop a relationship not only with the member, but with their ag related staff person, both in district and in D.C. Develop that rapport so that when in those critical moments of working on Farm Bill, whether it's in committee or if we're in conference committee, that you get a call from NACD leadership that, hey, we need to spread the word about this point or that point or this priority or that priority. When you pick up the phone, when you send the fax, when you send the email, someone in that Senate and House office knows who you are, understands that you have these issues at heart, and will respond accordingly. NACD has always done a tremendous job of this kind of grassroots lobbying, but there are so many new members in the House and the Senate this time. And as always, new members of NACD, new activists since the 08 Farm Bill, we need to be prepared to be able to impact politely, respectfully, and positively, of course, the legislation. Because let's face it, not many groups out there have a better understanding of conservation in rural America than NACD. Do they, folks? Your word comes from a knowledge base that's hard to duplicate anywhere else, and you have the best interest of rural America at heart. I know that I beat this drum and I beat this drum, but literally, my friends, with almost a fourth of the United States House, brand new members who've not only never been through a Farm Bill conference, who've never been through a Farm Bill, who've never been a member of Congress before, many of whom have never been a part of the legislative process before, this educational process, you're helping them help themselves when you do this.
Thank you, Representative Lucas. One more thing. What new concepts would you like to see or would you see or like to see included in the new 2012 Farm Bill?
Well, I had the joy of being a kid on Christmas morning in 2008 as a subcommittee chairman when we got to do lots of bold new things and meet lots of goals and long-term hopes. I'm practical enough to know that in 2012, my goal here is not really bold new things. I just want to save as many good programs as I can. I want to prioritize our spending so that the really good things really are done first. I can't really, in a practical way, tell you what those priorities might be because this time, because every program has supporters and sponsors, every program has a fan club, and the budget situation is going to be so tough, so tight, that whether it's a program or two that I helped create in 02, or things from before that, or things in the 08 Farm Bill, it's all going to be looked at, my friends. This picking between children is tougher than I ever imagined, so to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas.
Thank you, Tim. I think we have time for one more question if someone would like to come up.
Good morning, Representative. My name is Carrie Sexton. I live here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. My question is there a plan amongst the committee for a new or renewed commitment to government-to-government tribal consultation regarding the 2012 Farm Bill?
You know, that's an issue that's really not come up in discussion. We've been so focused on the budget issues and the overall money. Understand, being a member of Congress from Oklahoma, I'm particularly sensitive about the tribal issues. Not only do we have 38 registered tribes in Oklahoma, recognized, I should say, by the federal government, and more than that, but 16 of those tribes are in my congressional district. So those issues will be a part of it. And it's not just intergovernment issues on conservation, those kind of things. There are also special issues, in particular, with tribes with the Plains Indian heritage in my western region about some of the nutrition programs. Are we really serving all of my tribal members well with the standard school lunch program? There's just a variety of topics that will come up. But as of this moment, I can't tell you that's been a discussion at this few days into the new session.
What would you recommend, especially for, I'm part of an organization that is a consortium of Eastern tribes, many of whom do not have representatives on this committee and are fairly new to this process with the Farm Bill. It's become much more of a priority in some different parts of Indian country than perhaps you're used to there in Oklahoma. How would you recommend that these tribal leaders become more involved in the process if they don't have local state representation on the committee?
I think you can reach out to, first of all, bear in mind the way the House and Senate Ag Committees work. If in my tenure in Congress, if you have a member of the committee in the congressional district you live in, of course you go to him or her. But if you, and I come from a small state, we only have 5 members of the House. If you don't have a member on that committee, then you reach out to the person who is on the committee from your state. So if there's an ag committee member in your state, you reach out to them. And that's tribal, that's everyone. You reach out to that person, and they will respond to you because they're, at least it's been my experience that members of Congress who serve on committees that are unique to their state delegation or their region within the state are responsive and understand they have a special responsibility. Also, you always reach out to your 2 United States senators. If one of them happens to be on the Ag Committee, of course, in particular, but if not, reach out to those senators. One, even if they're neither are on the Senate Ag Committee, one will have a higher focus on those issues. Reach out to them and establish a relationship. And then ultimately, if that doesn't provide any satisfaction, then just communicate straight with the committee, majority and or minority, either one.
Thank you for your time. I look forward to seeing what comes from the committee on this issue in the future.
Exactly. We have much ground to cover, tighter resources to do it with, but once again, working hard in that bipartisan fashion, Mr. Peterson and I will, I think, do the absolute best we can with the resources that are available to us and do our absolute best also to persuade our friends in the Senate to be a part of that process too. And if we can put it on the president's desk before he goes out to campaign in places like Iowa or wherever. I hearken back to that, and you've got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little bit of a political creature, or I wouldn't have made it to be a chairman of the committee. It's much easier, no matter what the party registration is, no matter what the background of your president is, it's always, at least in my tenure, a much simpler process to put a farm bill on their desk before re-election day, so to speak. And I wish that was a weak attempt at humor. That's just an observation of fact.
Well, thank you, Mr. Congressman. This is Earl Garber, the NACD second vice president. We really appreciate you taking time here this morning to visit with our membership, and we are really looking forward to working with you this coming year and into the year of 2012 on this farm bill. So let's give Congressman a hand.
Thank you, Earl. And we will work together.